This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m.
Oh, we're joined now by Kirsten Murfitt. She's a must follow if you're on X. I'm on X. I just love X. I find it a bit creepy in some ways because I follow like Kirsten and I feel as though I know her so well and she doesn't know probably that I follow her. And you think, I wonder if it's a bit creepy that I sort of follow you. She's a must follow. Row Edge is a must follow. Let Kids Be Kids is a must follow. Erica Harvey is a must follow. Oh, it's all women, right? They're just fantastic telling us what's what. Kirsten is a lawyer and she's a very, very brave woman because when most of us were hanging back, she was speaking out. And you don't forget that. Good morning, Kirsten.
Hi, Rodney. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very brave. Thank you.
Oh, maybe foolish. I don't know.
Because you came into awful attacks, didn't you?
Yeah, but I just can't seem to help myself. I've always had, I guess, what I call a moral compass. And I just hate injustice. So I feel that I have to stand when I see something being unjust.
Well, you do a good job on X. Do you mind that I follow you? And I don't. I have an anonymous name and I don't post myself, but I go on X and it's my
favorite. No, I know there's lots of people like you. So
it's my favorite thing. I look on stuff, I look on the Herald, I groan, and then I go on X and I just love it because there's clever people describing things, explaining things, pointing you to things. I love it with the US election to be following that. And the funny thing is, you feel as though you know them quite well, if you know what I mean, because you're following them on X. I feel quite close to you because I follow your posts. Yeah. And I always think,
I
go you.
Up to me and I don't know them, but they feel that they know me. So, which is great. But
you know how many followers you've got?
X, I've got over 10,000 now. I started last year when I started campaigning, so I've only been on just over a year. And I think it's coming up to 5,000 on Facebook. And I think about 4 on LinkedIn, which I only started this year.
It's huge, isn't it? It's huge. You can get up in the morning and you can reach 20,000 people just like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think it's just so important given that there's so little trust in our mainstream media in New Zealand at the moment, and has been for quite a few years now, that there are other voices that are actually breaking through.
Well, I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
You're smarter than anything at the Herald or TVNZ, that's for sure. Tell us about this. I get a bit lost at times because you and Erica Harvey, are doing this wonderful job with the Tauranga District Council. And pre-X, they could have got away with it, but you're holding them to account. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Erica and I, we're both mums with special needs children, so we've both been advocating in that space for a long time. For me, it's coming up 18 years, so we're sort of quite good at this space. But yeah, we've gone into the Tauranga City Council. So Erica's background is her husband actually is a fisherman, has been in the papers. And she's been fighting this battle since 2016. But yeah, it's been hard to get media attention. I think because we posted that live with Erica's meeting, that went viral and that sort of generated a lot of media interest as well. So I hear it was 7 days comedy thing that was down in Tauranga the other day. They're actually joking about it too. So it's definitely getting out there. And there's been so many deals that seem to be behind closed doors, and it stems a long way back. But when we lost democracy in Tauranga with the commissioners, it just seemed to step up a little bit of a level. So all we're really wanting is accountability, transparency, and we're the ones funding all this as ratepayers. So why can't we be involved in the decision making too?
And isn't it a strange thing that demanding transparency and accountability is seen as a total attack and they go on the attack against you and hunker down, which just makes you realize that they're up to no good.
Representatives, but also behind the elected representatives, we've had a number of different people come to the table over the years as councillors, but we're still, the culture is still the same. So it's obviously the bureaucrats in the background that are advising the councillors that may need to be a bit more transparent. So Erica just sent me an article that came out in local media this morning where the mayor is backing staff that targeted on social media. So they use always quite emotive words like we are targeting them, we're attacking them. When all we're actually really asking for is transparency and accountability.
Amazing. And this is to do with the marina, right?
This is to do with the marina, which, as we know, has been sold for undervalue. There's different figures that people get to for the exact amount of undervalue, but it's definitely been sold for under the book value amount. And then the council's committed close to $30 million for development, which is going to benefit the owner. Then once the owner is in there, he's starting a super yacht business, which may or may not be successful. If it's not successful, he can go and sell that to a third party. And it was moved from my understanding from what Eric has told me from a strategic asset to a non-strategic asset. And also it displaces our local fishing industry, which brings in, I'm told, $100 million a year. So why is all this being done behind closed doors? And I mean, Eric has been involved in this matter since 2016, and she does not feel that she's been consulted for the people that she represents.
It's disgusting. And as I said, without you and Erica and without X, it wouldn't have got that wider coverage that you're now bringing to it. Good for you.
Yeah, but then we also, with the sale of 160 to 176 Devonport Road, which we believe is similar, that there are possible conflicts of interest, we've now received a legal letter. So we can't talk too much about that at the moment. But, yeah, all we've done is post facts that are backed up and referenced from public documents in the public arena, and now we're sort of having to face that battle as well.
And this is from elected bodies sending you a legal letter threatening you.
No, this is from a bureaucrat within the organisation.
Yeah, but you still pay his salary.
Yeah, I do, but he's not elected.
No, I see what you're saying. Sorry, yeah. But yeah. He's in an organisation that should be accountable to you, the ratepayer.
Yeah, and people have been trying to do Official Information Act requests on this matter for a while. Some information has been released, but other information has been withheld. So what do you do in that situation? Do you just back down and say, okay, it is what it is. We're not going to get transparency, so let's just walk away. Or do we have to keep on putting things out on social media to actually get the public interest to put political pressure on the powers to be? But, I mean, we shouldn't have to do that in a democracy.
Mm.
And where's the media in this?
It seems to me, though they're gone, they just support they just support their lefty mates in power. And but it seems to me with COVID, maybe this is just me and how I view things, but we went from a high-trust environment to a very low-trust environment.
Yes.
And now once you don't trust them, you question. And when they can't give you adequate answers, you realise, actually, maybe these things have been crooked for a long, long time and I've just been asleep. You know what I mean?
Very true. I sat down with a former counsellor yesterday who was telling me stories back from 2002.
Yeah.
And there is just so many questionable transactions in Tauranga. And as ratepayers, we should be able to talk about it. We should be able to ask questions. And that information should be available to us. All this commercial sensitivity, I don't feel is very democratic.
No.
Because if something's been sold off market, so it hasn't gone out for a normal real estate agent, et cetera, they can just claim commercial sensitivity. Well, where do you go with that? And how does that run into the future? Will everything just become commercially sensitive and we can't have any information. But yet we've got to pay for it. And John Robson, who was a former councillor and he's worked in finance, he's done the figures on the long-term plan, and his estimate is that our rates will increase by 167% in the next 10 years. And I already know my rates are phenomenal. And then I was talking to a local lawyer who's been working in this space about the Tauranga Council for a while and done some amazing Official Information Act requests. He was saying he had a new client last year. She's lived at the Mount for 80 years, so she must be quite old, and living in one of those little railway houses that they used to have back in the old days. Her rates are now $13,000 a year, and she can't afford to live there anymore. It's her home. This is disgusting.
Disgusting. Makes you weep.
Yeah.
Makes you weep.
Assets have been sold at undervalued to benefit people that are already, from my point of view, extremely rich.
Mm. What happened to our great country?
I don't know, and I don't know if we're going to get it back.
Yes, we are.
It does worry me.
We are, because you're leading us. The COVID jabs tender. Tell us about that.
Well, I was just sort of having a little look around COVID. I sort of keep popping in, but my main focus is on the releasing the Pfizer contract petition at the moment. And so I was searching on the internet and I came across this tender. And I just thought it's so interesting that they're still putting out tenders using our taxpayers' money to purchase these injections, that there is so much information out there now that these are harmful. Yes, they may not harm everybody, but they do harm a lot of people. And we've had drugs pulled for a lot less. Why are we still backing this when it doesn't stop transmission? We know this for a fact now. It causes death in some cases. It does cause serious injury. The government has admitted to all that. So why are we purchasing these drugs and like purchasing them for many, many years to come? I don't think any of us have the answer, but you've got to ask the question.
I know. Do you feel as though with X and losing trust in the media that there's sort of two movies running? Those that sort of read the news and watch the news and nod their heads. And then those of us who think it's all BS and follow our mates on X and become in our own bubble as well, and that there are these two bubbles side by side.
Oh, absolutely, there's two bubbles. And I sort of always try to look at the other side as well.
Yes.
Because you need to have a balanced view. But I think, as you say, we've been through so much since 2022. My son couldn't even use a public toilet. We got turned away from a hotel like we were lepers. You know, we had the local health nurse ringing me, badgering, trying to get my son to get a vaccine, to assist me to get a vaccine because he has special needs, when I've never had any of that sort of assistance before. It's like you do just distrust. And so maybe we have swung a little bit too far. I'm not sure. We need to come back a little bit. But at this point in time, with what I'm seeing, I can't restore that trust. Like we're having a COVID inquiry, but yet we've got a tender to purchase more vaccines.
Yes. And ACC is paying out $11 million, I read, and we know they turned virtually everyone away, but they are paying out some money for damage by the vaccine. So why are we still pushing it? It's disgusting.
Exactly, because once again, all this money comes from us. And so while I'm really, really grateful that the vaccine injured are getting compensation and help, there's also the flip side of that, that it really worries me that once the floodgates do open and they will eventually get there, how are we going to fund this? We've already spent so much money on the COVID response, and I believe there was a bit of mismanagement there. Our health system is now $1 billion in deficit. At what point is this going to break? Like, does the country go bankrupt? Or am I just being too extreme?
No. I mean, this is coming to a head in the United States now in this election. Mm-hmm. Just the level of spending is out of control. They're spending more on interest repayments than they do on defence.
Absolutely. And this is a problem with some of the deals in Tauranga as well, where the council has incurred debt and they have brought in a new levy just recently to help debt go down. I think it's going to go from 500 million to 300 million. Sorry, just the figures I remember from yesterday may be wrong there. But yeah, we're just servicing debt. It's crazy. And we know what it's like when you get into debt and you can't manage it. It becomes exponential.
I admire you a lot, very much.
Thank you.
Not just for being brave, but by sticking at it. And I want to know how you do it, because I want to stick my head in the sand, because I get so upset by the dishonesty, the greed, the attitude to us, the people, the lack of love, the lack of respect, that it blights me. And so I can't spend time on it, right? Because I know it'll make me so miserable. And yet you are battling away. How do you handle that?
I feel that we need to leave the world in a better place than we came into it. And we're a blended family, so my husband is older than I am. So at 52, I actually had 3 grandchildren. So I just look at them and I'm like, it's their future. I love them. I mean, obviously I love my son, but him being special needs, it doesn't affect him in the same way financially, but it does affect his rights. And if he does eventually go into residential care, will they just be vaccinating him with experimental vaccines without consultation? And he can't give consent. He'll never be able to give consent.
Well, I'm in a darker place than that, because I can foresee them euthanizing him.
Yeah, I do worry about those sort of things as well. That is kind of an extreme comment. I know that overseas there are some issues. But yeah, they'd have to get past me first. Good luck
to them. Yes, but you know what I mean? That this willingness to kill and disrespect life and the natural order of things with men and women is so inverted value system.
Well, that's what I think they're trying to make us think. And there are the keyboard warriors. So I've recently posted about my son being excluded from school, excluded from mock exams and full-time exams, and then they brought in all these extra online day holidays and stuff. And it just gets really, really hard for families. But most people were really nice and supportive. Yes, there were some trolls out there saying, well, stuff on these special needs, he doesn't deserve an education. But I think the majority of New Zealanders are actually really good people, like just from talking to people, being out on the street. Erica was like at the supermarket on Friday and people were coming up and thanking her. I was at Farmers on Saturday morning and had a lady big smile at me and then came up and started talking, and she was just so grateful that we're actually speaking out. It'd be nice to have some more people speaking out, but I think people are generally good people, but Kiwis are just too quiet. They don't like to speak out.
That's lovely, isn't it? I think that's true, because whenever I go out in the world, I feel so much happier. And I can remember as an MP, I'd be under fire for something and be all over the paper, and you'd think everyone in the world hated you. No one noticed. And they're always very nice to me in the street. You know what I mean? There's this distorted view that the media create of people and issues. And, of course, the extreme thing is American politics, where it's so hyper-partisan that it's disgusting. You know, the person on the other side's Hitler or a Nazi. You know, you just can't. Or communist, you just can't have a reasonable discussion with the intensity of politics. And of course, that's we will be doing that shortly, because we follow them.
Exactly.
Tell me,
I'm sorry.
Tell me, I don't know the answer to this, but we'll get on to your referendum too. But you talked about they. Who's the they in? I talk about they all the time, and I pull myself up because I think, who's the they?
You know, it's a good question. It depends, like, with they, in terms of the council, it is the civil servants.
Yes.
When I talk about they in terms of parliament, it's obviously the politicians and bureaucrats. And I think those bureaucrats are very, very powerful people.
Yes.
Much more powerful than the elected politicians, because they come and go. So, I mean, you've got experience of being inside the beehive. Would you agree with that statement?
Totally.
Yeah.
Once you're a minister, you have very limited degrees of freedom to move. You can make small decisions, and you can pull off the odd big one if you have an electoral mandate. But the day-to-day administration and the day-to-day policy and the direction is set by the civil service.
Absolutely.
And you can't upset them, because they will destroy you as a minister.
That's what I have sort of come to see. And also just the busyness of politicians as well.
Yeah.
When you look at some politicians and all the portfolios they have, I'm like, how can they even keep up to date?
Yes, but it's worse than that, because I think the system's designed, and I think the bureaucrats have a hand in this, that politicians tend to like to be busy, not sitting in an office reading and thinking.
Yeah.
And so you're out and about cutting ribbons, giving speeches, having meetings. And the officials are guiding you through all of this. Here's your notes for the next meeting. Here's your speech notes for what you're going to say. Here's how it's going to work when you cut this ribbon. And so you just become this blur of busy, and they're great at creating the sense that you're the queen bee in charge, when actually they're running you, but you don't realize it, because a politician just needs their ego stroke.
So where's their accountability?
There is none. There is none.
And, I mean, I don't know the answer to this question. How do we get accountability, apart from people like Erica and myself and many, many other great people that are doing OIAs and trying to get the information out there?
I don't know the answer to that. I think ultimately we have to crush the government back to a reasonable size so it can be held to account. I think it's too big. And I think if you're a senior civil servant, you are a philosopher king, because you are trained at university to a very high level. You're trained in the bureaucracy to a very high level, and you live, eat and breathe it if you get to the top, because you've got to be very committed to it. And you naturally think you have experience of how government works. You know the machinery of government, and you're running it for all the little people out there who don't know.
Yeah.
And what happens is this is my theory, you also make terrible trade-offs where something really bad happens, but for the good of the system, you just have to swallow it and carry on, because the whole system's what holds government together and society. You equate government with society and with New Zealand, and you're full of it. And you get a pesky Kirsten Murphy and Erica Harvey, and they're just, not these two again. Oh, bugger them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just costing us time. And that was a cock up, but they don't see the big picture. And,
you know, the whole thing about we need to move forward, we don't need to look back.
Yeah.
But the problem is, these sorts of decisions are occurring over decades. So we actually do need to look back to see where we're getting it wrong, to actually get it right on the go forward. So I don't like this philosophy of just forget what's happened, let's move forward.
No. I had a friend who was destroyed by the IRD, and he fought them for years and years and years, and finally turned out they'd lied and cheated and made stuff up to destroy him. And it all came out publicly and was accepted. And the IRD senior officer said to him, you know what you've got to do? You've got to learn forgiveness and grace.
Oh, goodness sake.
It is horrible. And again, that's why I appreciate what you do. You're a very strong person. Tell us about your referendum and how that's going.
Yeah, no, that's going really well, thank you. So we've finally agreed with Parliament on the wording. They put it out in the Gazette for advertising, and we only received 3 submissions back, which I thought was amazing. I thought we'd probably get a lot more people opposing it.
Mm-hmm.
So Parliamentary Services has just emailed me this morning, and the wording is, do you wish for the government to terminate New Zealand's relationship with the World Health Organization? And then they've sent me some examples of the collection forms I need to have a look at and get those up and back to them. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll be ready to go. We've got a steering committee with some amazing people on there with different skill sets, from business people through to just some amazing people. And we're really wanting to raise, I know it's a huge ask to get 400,000 wet ink signatures, but that's not necessarily the point. Yes, I'd love to get there, but it's also about educating the average New Zealander about some of the issues with the World Health Organization, because we really want to prioritize people, not politics, and our health. And I think every New Zealander, because we all experienced 2020 and the COVID response, we all know at some level that politics did get in there and it was prioritised over our Kiwis. So that's really what this is about. And there's a lot of vested interests within the WHO, et cetera. But yeah, it's more about taking back our control, educating New Zealanders that the World Health Organization is not just this, you know, wonderful organization that looks after New Zealand, because there actually are some serious issues we need to look at. I mean, just for example, how we responded to COVID, did we get that right?
Yeah.
By following the WHO's advice?
We're seeing we ever did.
Exactly. And we weren't even allowed to be with our loved ones when they were dying.
Like, yes.
That all stems from the WHO.
Yes.
A
big impetus for your referendum may well come should Trump win and RFK assume a position of responsibility.
Because he did exit the WHO last time.
Oh, yes, he did too.
Yeah, so I'm hoping if he does win that he will exit the WHO a second time, because that will create a lot of momentum. Also, I understand Kennedy has said if they get in, they're going to stop fluoride altogether in the States.
I know, he said that.
Yeah, and our government, because lots of people will say, well, you know, it's just an organisation overseas, it's not law in New Zealand. But the thing is, when we sign these treaties, there is an expectation that we will pass the laws in New Zealand to implement the policies in New Zealand. And what does an international organisation know about our local conditions? Like, shouldn't we be looking after our own people?
Absolutely.
If we can still be part of an organisation, we can still consider their advice, but why should we be embedding their policies, which may or may not fit our local community, into our law? And why is the World Health Organization also extending their scope? Like, they're now looking at climate change and climate change lockdowns, etc. And this scares me.
It all starts with a jamboree in some nice location, Rio de Janeiro, for climate change in 1992. And they get Simon up them over there and officials, and they all have drinks and they all talk about saving the world. And then you sign something that's not binding, right? And all come home and, oh, we've done this and we're part of the global village. And then suddenly the bureaucracy is implementing it because you signed it, Minister. And then suddenly it becomes a target. suddenly you can't get rid of it, Minister, because there'd be trade implications and foreign policy reasons. And suddenly you're committed to something that some wanker signed on some junket, oblivious. I can tell you the angriest I've ever been in my life was with John Key, who I had great respect for while he was Prime Minister. Not just the office, but because I thought he was a good man. Less so now, looking back. But anyway.
You know, I voted for him. I was fully a national voter until recently.
Yeah. So I'm in government. We have a no surprises policy. We meet every week. Our party has a very strong view that there should be one law for all. And John Key and the National Party are a bit relaxed about that, give or take. We can negotiate something, Maori Party. Then I discovered, only upon his return, that Peter Sharples had been authorised by John Key to fly under the cover of darkness to the UN in New York and sign the United Declaration on Indigenous Peoples.
Yeah.
And I sat down with John Key, and he wouldn't know how angry I was because you get good at hiding those things in politics.
Yeah.
And he said, it doesn't matter. It's nothing.
Why did he say it didn't matter?
It doesn't matter, Rodney. We're still a sovereign country. Nothing will happen if we make
them. That's interesting how Three Waters came in.
I know. I know. I know. But that's how, in a one-on-one private conversation that I should never disclose, he spoke. It's a nothing. And I said, you've got no idea the history of this shit. They do this every time a coconut. I said 10 years down the track, this would be a problem. I didn't think it would be 3 years down the track it would be a problem.
Yeah.
Right? But everything's got faster.
Well, I think just with the Labor government, everything got a lot faster.
Shoot.
I'm not saying
Jacinda Ardern was the most consequential prime minister we've ever had.
Oh, absolutely.
She changed our country, not just policy settings. She changed the culture and the direction.
She changed the cycle.
Yeah.
She pitted us against each other. I've just recently had my first conversation with one of my oldest friends, and we never had a fight over COVID. We just stopped talking. And that's so sad, because she had to take the vaccine because of her mandate. I mean, I don't think I even said anything bad about COVID to her. It was just kind of, we kind of knew each other's position and we just went each other's way.
Isn't that terrible?
That's pretty powerful that the media and the government could do that and turn neighbours against neighbours and not speak to each other and be afraid of each other. And this is, once again, some of this policy comes from who, like, they took away our personal choices. We had loved ones dying alone. Like, at work, my office is on a cross-section, so there's two residential down the back. And the couple down the back, they just celebrated, I think, 50 years of marriage. They've got a letter from the Queen. They had a letter from Jacinda Ardern. They proudly showed it. I didn't say anything. He ended up getting pleurisy, going to hospital and dying. And she rang me to tell me that he had died. And she was so upset. She was in like in her 70s. And she's like, I think they cremated him yesterday. They won't tell me when they cremated him.
No.
Isn't that just shocking? And that all stems from policies from the WHO about shutting down in this dangerous virus, which it may be dangerous to some, but it wasn't dangerous to all. And my husband was one of those people that it's dangerous for, although he did get it and he was fine. He didn't even go to hospital. He's gone to hospital for food poisoning. He almost died at Christmas. But if he says he's a man, he can look after himself. If he chose to stay at home because he was scared, he was more than willing to do that. He did not want New Zealand closed down for him. And others.
No, well, there you go. How do we find this petition to sign? Get it out of the WHO.
Okay, so there is a, it's on all my social pages for the petition, which is to release the Pfizer contract, and that's coming up to 20,000 signatures, or you can go to the parliamentary site. Although they're making it very hard for, for me to share. Every time someone shares it on Facebook, it's immediately removed. It's very hard to find searching, or you can go to www.kirstenmurfitt.co.nz. A fan just made me a little website where it's posted. It's nothing flash. Then the Exit the Who, once we're ready to go, we'll let the public know, and then we've got our volunteers that will be out in the community collecting wet ink signatures. We can spend up to $50,000, so we'll be asking for donations soon. We've got just over $10,200 in the bank at the moment.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, and we'll be fully transparent. I'm more than happy for it to be audited. I'm more than happy for anyone to ask for the balance at any stage. I'm not going to be like the government. We'll be fully transparent with it. Yeah, we'll probably have to keep a little bit of money back because I've had to set it up as a limited liability company, as a separate entity, so there will be tax payable on the income that comes in.
Yes.
But it's just, it was much easier than doing a charitable trust, et cetera. So yes. I just thought that's probably going to be the easiest, simplest way to do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kirsten Murfitt, follow her on X. Also, Erica Harvey, can you give our very best wishes to Erica Harvey?
Absolutely.
Tell her I'm a long-time follower, no posting, like long-time listener, no, never called before. That's me.
I could be very excited to hear that, Rodney.
I love you two ladies to death. I like to talk to you because it just makes me feel a little bit less creepy than I was. I wonder what Kirsten's up to.
I had a party on Saturday night and a drunk guy said to me, "You're actually prettier in real life than you are on Twitter." I think that's a compliment.
Yeah, that's a new pickup line. Yeah. You're a lot more prettier than you are on TikTok. Oh, my goodness, what a world we live in.
That's crazy. But, hey, at least it's not boring. Boring's, yeah.
It's not boring. And I so want Trump to win. I can't imagine what it'll feel like if Harris wins, because I feel as though it'll be the end of Western civilization. I think she's so under the thumb.
Harris is doing some really interesting background checking on her, so I recommend people go and check that out. And also I think if Trump doesn't get in, it would not surprise me if there was a civil war.
No, because you feel he's got, the support he's got is monumental.
Yes.
But of course.
And after the last election. I was walking past the TV the other day and they were talking about the insurrection and sort of how he had promoted a riot and stuff. And I just laughed at the Channel 6 News. I was just like, that's not what happened at all.
No.
Yeah. No.
No, suddenly it's an armed insurrection and they were going to topple the government. And you think, no, there was a protest. They wanted to have a proper check and audit, which never happened. Mm-hmm. And some people trespassed and ran around inside the building, and a poor lady got shot by a stupid guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then these Democrats weaponized that against Trump. And the media played along. Like, this is power structure mm-hmm. that can't be questioned.
Exactly, and you can see it right down from the Tauranga City Council.
Yes.
Right, all the way up to the American politics, through to the WHO, United Nations. It's
and
everywhere.
To our local school, when you try and question what's going on in gender ideology in the school, I can't get any progress.
Yeah, no,
it's
absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Kirsten.
Thank you very much for having me on.
No, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I want more strength to your arm.
Okay, great.
You take care.
There goes my phone. Sorry about that.
There you go. Perfect timing.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.